Amen. We're in John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. John chapter 3, verse number 1. I like old Nicodemus. Don't know him. I'll get to know him at some point, I believe. But I like old Nicodemus. He's meeting with Jesus by night. Some of my more pious friends like to say things like, well, if he'd have been a brave believer in Christ, he'd have met with him in the daylight. How do you know Jesus didn't tell him to meet at night? Maybe Jesus said, I'll be busy all day. Come by tonight when things slow down. Be careful that you don't judge somebody without knowing all their facts, right? But he met with him by night, and I'm glad he did. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was likely an older man. He was a very popular teacher. And Jewish tradition tells us that at this time, he was the third richest Jew in all of Israel. Nicodemus had some clout. You'll notice in John chapter 7 that he defended Jesus. In John chapter 19, he assisted in taking Jesus' body from the cross and having it interred. But we find ourselves in John chapter 3. A very familiar passage, especially John chapter 3 and verse number 16. It has much to say. Sometimes the familiar passages are the ones we tend to just kind of gloss over because we think we've read everything there is there to see. Can I tell you, the Word of God, you never get everything there is to get. I believe we'll be spending all of eternity learning more and more and more and plumbing more of the depths of God's Word. And that's one of the things that's going to make eternity so wonderful. Is we're going to learn things and learn things and learn things. And so we find ourselves in chapter 3. And I think layered in this chapter is something interesting to me. Right now in a crowd this size on a Sunday morning, there is the very real possibility, I would say probability, that there are some folks in this room that are not saved. Now, I'm no better than you. I don't look down on you if that's you. The fact is, there was a point in my life that I wasn't saved. You see, being saved doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just makes me forgiven. We're all sinners, aren't we? We've all fallen short, come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. We've all offended the holy, righteous God of the universe. We all have that in common. And I'm no better than anybody here, and you're no better than anybody here. We've all of us have to come to the cross on that same level ground, don't we? But maybe you're here under the sound of my voice. It could be somebody that listens to this message later on the internet or what have you. They're not saved. They're lost. Can I just tell you, and I say this out of a heart of love, there's only two possibilities for your eternity. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. If you're saved, you go to heaven. And if you're not, you go to hell. And that's the truth. That's not a Baptist truth. That's not a new evangelical truth. That's not an Andy Davis truth. That's a Bible truth. And a Bible truth makes it a universal truth. We're all going to spend forever somewhere. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I think that there are some exceptions, but I think by and large, there are four common reasons that people don't get saved. Four of them. And I think they're all found in this chapter. And so with the Lord's help, I want to speak to you on this subject. What's keeping you from missing heaven? What's causing you to miss heaven? Could it be one of these four? If it is, I want to deal with it. I want to answer it for you and get you set up to not miss heaven. Wouldn't that be good? Listen, this isn't about you joining my church. This isn't about you becoming a Baptist. This isn't about you becoming the sixth person to be baptized today. No. This is just about you going to heaven. That's my main concern. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time. Father, would you help me now as I preach, as I teach? May Christ be lifted up in it. Lord, I just pray if there's somebody here today that needs to be saved, I pray they'd be saved. Lord, I spent some time with you this morning, and sometimes I drift away from you. I've confessed that. And best I know, I'm right with you at this moment. I'm not always what I should be. And even now, perhaps, I've allowed something into my life, some idle word, thought, or deed that's displeased you, and I didn't even realize it. Lord, if you'll make that known to me, I'll make it right. I desperately want you to be able to use me this morning. This is important. God, even then, would you move me out of the way and just bless your word and speak to hearts. And may Christ be lifted up in it. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. Why are people missing heaven? I want you to focus on that syllable miss. That syllable miss. Missing heaven. Missing heaven. Why are people missing heaven? Number one, they mistake Christ's identity. They mistake Christ's identity. Would you look at verse 2? This Nicodemus, the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, I'm happy to report that I believe that Nicodemus eventually did get straight the matter of Christ's identity. But at this moment, it doesn't seem that he has it. At this moment, it seems that there's a mistake going on here. And though well-meaning, Nicodemus did not yet know Christ's true identity, and he made two mistakes. First of all, he needed to understand that Jesus was more than a teacher, and that he didn't just come from God. Can I tell you something, friend? Jesus is more than a good man with good lessons and good morals and things that we can use. He's more than that. And if that's all you see Jesus as, then you have mistaken his identity. Not only that, he made this mistake. He said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He messed up by one word there. Jesus didn't do things because God be with him. He, forgive the grammar here, he did things because God be him. God wasn't just with him, God is him. And he misunderstood that. And beloved, we need to get this. Even if you're saved, it's helpful to be reminded of this. He's not just a good man. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just somebody that was used of God. He is very God of gods. And you'll miss heaven if you never come face to face with who Jesus Christ really is. Can I tell you who he is? Would you give me just a couple of minutes to brag on the Lord a little bit? Can I tell you that he's not just a man, he's my advocate. He's almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the beloved and begotten Son of God. He's blessed and only potentate. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He's Christ. He's the cornerstone. He's counselor. He's creator. He's dayspring. He's deliverer. He's the door. He's the everlasting father. He's the faithful witness. He's the first and the last. He's our forerunner. He's God in all his glory. He's God in the flesh. He's the good shepherd, the great high priest, the head of the church, the heir of all things. He's the Holy One, the horn of salvation, the I Am, Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Lawgiver, the Lamb of God, the Life, the Lion of Judah, the Lord of Glory, the Man of Sorrows, the Mediator, Messiah, Mighty God, Morning Star, the Nazarene, Only Begotten, Prince of Peace, Prophet, Redeemer, the Resurrection, and the Life. He's our Rock. He's the Root of David. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's our Savior. He's the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He's the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Highest, the Son of Righteousness. He's the True Vine. He's the Truth. He's the Way. He's the Witness. And He's the Word. I'm here to tell you, He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He's God. And you better know that. Because if you don't know that, you'll miss heaven. Maybe you're missing heaven because you've mistaken Christ's identity. Or it could be that you're going to miss heaven because you've misunderstood Christ's instructions. Look at verse number 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. From verses 3 to verse 13, Jesus begins to use analogies. He's trying to teach Nicodemus a spiritual truth using a physical point of reference. The problem with a lot of people, and maybe the problem with you, is this. You can't get to the spiritual because you can't get off the physical. For instance, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? What is he talking about when he says Moses lifted up the serpent? And when these things don't make sense in our carnal, in our fleshly mind, we just throw it in the garbage and say, well, I guess there's nothing to it because I don't understand it. Can I tell you something, friend? There's a whole lot of things that I don't understand, but I'm glad they're so. I don't understand a bus ministry. Have you ever thought about the bus ministry? We have one here. Can I just give you the bus ministry? Yes? Hi, we're from Fellowship Baptist Church, and we'd like to take your kids. Sure? Can I just tell you, I can't imagine any situation in which somebody comes to my door and says, we'd like to take your kids, that I let that happen. I don't generally recommend that. But I sure am glad there's parents out there that let us bring their kids to church. I appreciate that. I don't understand it, but I'm glad it's so. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but it doesn't make them any less true. And Nicodemus, like so many, couldn't see past the physical into the spiritual. It's like I've been doing a study on Jonah. And one of the biggest knocks on the book of Jonah is, it is impossible for a whale of any kind to swallow a man and that man survive. Well, duh. That's why they call it a miracle. You know what else? It's impossible for a man to be crucified and come back from the dead, too. For man, this is impossible. For God, all things are possible. I have no problem believing that Jonah... And there's this big debate, did Jonah die and then God resurrected him, or did Jonah survive the 3 days? Can I just tell you, it really doesn't matter. They're equally miraculous. God can do it any way he wants to. I don't understand why people would come to a place on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, be yelled at, and then give them money. But it happens every week. And I'm glad it does. You see, what happens is we're moving from what we can see and what we can understand. We're moving into the realm of faith. And can I remind you, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Give it your best shot, you won't do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And many miss heaven because they insist on physical proof of a spiritual truth. Well, if there's a heaven, show me where. Well, I can't see it, neither can I. I can feel it sometimes. Can't see it. It's in another dimension. Oh, that's convenient. Look, you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. But I'm telling you that God's real. I'm telling you his word is true. Heaven exists. And Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again. I am taking that as fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, I've never trusted Christ because I don't understand the Bible. I've got news for you. You're not going to understand the Bible until you trust Christ. Because you need the Holy Spirit living inside of you, teaching you what the Bible teaches. And until you have that, then the Bible is pretty much going to be a nice book that reads like stereo instructions. Oh, but you get the Holy Ghost of God quickening you and telling you what things mean, and all of a sudden the Bible starts to open up, and you have one V8 moment after the other. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember those V8 commercials.
You see, sometimes people miss heaven because they mistake Christ's identity. They misunderstand Christ's instructions. Thirdly, they misread Christ's intent. I'm going to pick on fundamentalists now. I'm allowed to do that because I am one. See, people that aren't fundamentalists, they're not allowed to pick on us. I won't abide it, but I am one. It's kind of like your family. I can pick on my sister all I want to. You better not. I can call her names. You better not. Right? We've done ourselves a disservice. We've gotten out of balance in our emphasis when it comes to God. God is holy. God is righteous. God hates sin. But He's also love, and He's kind, and He's long-suffering, and He's gracious. And if you're going to worship rightly, you've got to have both. You can't choose one or the other. And I grew up in a culture, and I've told you this before, that it was, they never actually said it, but it was almost as though if you get saved, it's because you conquered God's reluctance. God's so mad at all of us, and God's so sick of sin. God just wants to drop a hammer on all of us, and God's going to take us all out. But if you get saved, He'll shrug His shoulders and say, well, I did say if they trust Christ. That's almost kind of how it felt. Can I remind you that salvation was God's idea? And that God's the one that sent His only begotten Son to die for us. There is nobody that wants to see people saved more than God does. And you remember in the Bible when it says there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes to repentance? It's not the angels rejoicing, it's God rejoicing. Whether it's prayer, whether it's salvation, whether it's blessing, it's not conquering God's reluctance. It's relying on His willingness. Look at verse 16. Jesus makes clear to Nicodemus His intent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Two facts that Jesus made very clear here. First of all, Jesus desires to save everyone. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but Jesus didn't just die for the elect. He died for the sins of all mankind. There's not one person, if they wish to be saved, God will reject. Not one. If you're here today and you wish to be saved, God will receive you. Well, Andy, you don't understand where I've been. Doesn't matter. You don't understand what I've done. Doesn't matter. Oh, there's earthly consequences for our actions. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. But I'm talking about your eternity. I'm telling you, as crazy as it sounds, this crowd that lets a baby be born and then keeps it comfortable while they decide what to do, has nothing more repugnant to me that I can imagine than this abortion foolishness. It's wicked, it's vile, and Jesus will save every one of them. He sure will. I saw a video of an abortion doctor who I believe is demon-possessed. And a journalist tried to speak to him about something, and this journalist was from a pro-life perspective. And he looked at her and he said, yes, I like to kill babies. That's what he did. A doctor. I can't imagine anybody more in need of a whooping than him. And Jesus died to save him. Jesus died to save the drug addict. He died to save the homosexual. He died to save the abortionist. He died to save the racist. He died to save anybody that we would look at and say, as Lester Roloff used to say, He'll save the uttermost and the guttermost. And by the way, friend, He died to save you too. We're all sinners. We're all equally deserving of hell. And Jesus desires to save everyone. And Jesus takes no pleasure in anyone's condemnation. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, can I tell you that the Holy Ghost of God cries out to you, turn ye from your wicked ways. Receive Christ today. How many will miss heaven because they think Jesus wouldn't want them, couldn't save them? You know what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what Paul's saying? If he'd save me, he'll save you. Can I tell you? If he'd save me, he'll save you. There's people that are missing heaven because they mistake Christ's identity. They misunderstand Christ's instructions. They misread Christ's intent. But then finally, they misplace Christ's invitation. You ever done that? You ever got an invitation somewhere? Threw it in your pile, and there it stayed. It's finally time to clean up the pile. First birthday party. That kid's 8 now. I should have got to my pile sooner. Oh well, I missed it. Can I tell you that right now Jesus Christ, through his word and through his Holy Spirit, has issued an invitation to every one of us. And some of us will misplace it. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Lost is our default setting. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you were to ask, sir, ma'am, what must I do to be lost? The answer is nothing. Because you're lost right now. Jesus gave us an invitation. And there's a whole lot of people in this world, I hope not, but maybe even this room, you've read the invitation. I just read it to you. What do you do with it? I'll get to it later. And before long, you've misplaced it. And it won't be this idle little, I missed it. No. The screams of agony and the hell fires as you cry out, I missed it. I misplaced that invitation. Can I make a statement to you that you may not agree with, but just follow me? The devil does not care if you receive Christ, just so you don't do it right now. He's all for you receiving Christ, but do it later. Because one of the devil's, in fact, maybe the devil's most effective lie is you've got plenty of time. You know what he's hoping you'll do? He's hoping you'll misplace that invitation. God made it very clear to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're sitting here and you've never trusted Christ, you may be thinking, Andy, I'll tell you, you've given me a lot to think about, and I'm going to go home. No. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Whether you realize it or not, this is a divine appointment, and God himself has orchestrated that you be sitting right where you're sitting. That you hear the gospel, and that you respond in faith. That is God's will for you right now, is that you be saved. And you know what I found? I've seen it over and over again, and the Bible bears it out. The Holy Spirit calls, be saved! No, not yet. Then the next time, be saved. No, not yet. Be saved. Not quite ready yet. Be saved. And then he stops calling. You see, if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw you, you can't get saved. And you find yourself hardened, not willing to be saved, not willing to listen to it anymore. And then you're gone. This could be the last time he calls you. Oh, you're just trying to scare me. You better believe I'm trying to scare you. Hell's worth being scared over. It's real. So maybe you're here today and you've mistaken Christ's identity. You misunderstand Christ's instructions. Maybe you've misread Christ's intent. Or maybe you've misplaced Christ's invitation. But I am pleading with you today. Don't miss heaven.